Hello, art friends, evolutionary arts, Hearts Home family.
Hello there, welcome back.
So we want to thank our newest Patreons. Thank you guys for your support.
Definitely. Thank you so much to Pat, Henry, Judd, Ardia, and Michael.
Thank you guys so much for your support and being part of the family. Make sure you are subscribed to all three channels, Evolutionary, EE Arts, and also Heart's Home. So you might have noticed the similarities as far as sonically with Krishna and Christ, as far as sounding them out, Christ and Krishna. Obviously, there is a correlation there, and there is kind of a literal correlation there. Now, many people may not be aware of exactly how the Bible was put together or the Vedas were put together, books like the Mahabharata. The Bhagavad Gita is a section of the Mahabharata, and it gives us some of the most amazing sayings, illuminations, inspirations. The Upanishads, again, I would strongly recommend going in and studying the Upanishads. They are full of wisdom in a way that really parallels the stories of the Bible in a way. And again, there's connections, as you see, the connection between Hinduism and Christianity. Well, there is an underlying core between all the religious traditions out there. And then there's the dogma that's been put in place that divides. But if we look a little bit deeper, we'll start to understand. And so many people have put out different articles from different perspectives. Again, about 60% of this world looks through an Abrahamic tradition lens. Now, what does that mean? Again, Abraham, the founder, as far as the stories go, of not only Judaism, but Christianity, and then also Islam, from the perspective that you're looking at, like Christianity and Islam branched off and came out of. The reality is not so simple. The reality is there's a lot of intertwining. There's many different myths. There's many different traditions. Things have been changed over the years. Things have been distorted, things have been adapted completely and renamed. But when we get to the core of things, this article here is saying Krishna is Christ consciousness. And that story was from December 23rd, 2011, trying to again say, you know, our traditions. And you see a Christmas tree. Well, it's a pagan symbol. You know, again, there is nothing new under the sun. There's just new ways to wrap it up and new ways to try to express some of the same beliefs.
Right. It is recycling over and over and over again to the point where they recycled it into this very convenient book that is nice. You know, there's a lot of good nuggets in there, but not when it's used to divide people. And I think that's where we are. You know, we understand the division and the issues that it causes, and we want to help everyone understand that you don't have to be fearful of others.
Absolutely. And so Krishna is Purna, or in other words, complete. Now that's saying something. That is really saying something. And when we think of Yeshua, Jesus, absolutely, he is also complete. What's he complete in? It's the understanding of the bigger picture. They are self-realized. They understand who they are. They understand the bigger picture. They understand why we would even come into a physical reality like this in the first place. And the next line says, he manifests perfection, an ideal being who knows how to live, love, fulfill his duties, and fight if need be. Now, you might, if you know some of the stories of Krishna, say, wait a minute, he was perfect? He was a naughty little boy. He got into the cookie jars. He did what he was told not to do. he liked sweets. He liked playing pranks. Is that perfect? It's perfect for him. It's him being who he is. Every person's different. Each one of us are unique. And that's, again, part of that purpose. You might not be perfect in the eyes of another, but you can be perfectly yourself. And that's the point.
You know, and that's kind of what we came here to do. We came here to express ourselves, and that doesn't always look pretty. And when it comes to spirituality, it's not about how nice or how kind you can be. It's about how much of your authentic self can you be. And when it comes to children, they explore. I'll call it that. They love to explore. They love to push boundaries. They came here to discover themselves. So yeah, they are going to get into some trouble, but that's the beauty of making it here.
Yeah. And part of the beauty is when we put these videos out that I end up not making the video that I intended to make, because there's other stuff that's coming through that I think is just simply the guides want us to focus on certain aspects. And yes, we'll cover everything that originally we intended to cover, but it's going to end up digressing over into other areas. So manifesting perfection, it's unique to each individual. There is no one size fits all. And one of the things that hit me with traditional fundamentalist Christianity, because if we're talking about the similarities again between Hinduism and Christianity, well, you have to realize there's a million branches of Hinduism, and there's there's tens of thousands of branches of Christianity. So which one are we talking about? We're talking about looking past the obvious, and looking past the dogma, and looking at what is really being put out there at the core. What are the esoteric truths? What that you can find in other traditions too. You absolutely can. Whether you're studying Sufi mysticism, whether you're studying Gnosticism, whether you're studying Hermetics, or whether you're studying Taoism, you can find that there are core truths. And those truths always come back to one thing, and that is the ultimate reality of the universe is consciousness. And so we're having a temporary existence in the body. This is just a temporary existence. You could view this as this is school, this is learning, this is play. You, again, can't take anything physical with you, but you do take all your experiences. You can relive those experiences forever. You could play out different possibilities of those experiences forever, because you are eternal. And that's part of the big reveal. That changes everything. When you recognize that I am eternal consciousness, everything changes. All of a sudden, you know, the toil of today, the tribulation of today, the things that feel insurmountable, well, you know, at the end of the road, when we're done with this body, the Bhagavad Gita again teaches that worn out garments are discarded by the user. Well, worn out bodies are discarded by the user. What you are wearing is a body, but you cannot ever be destroyed. You just maybe sometimes can get lost a little bit. And that's what the system tries to do, is to get us to be lost, to lose track of who we really are, and to lose track of the reality that Source, God, is within you. Now, Source as in the God, as in that which is the totality of all, has to be within you. There could be no other way. These things should be so obvious, and they are so obvious when we're outside of a dark age. And even again, the beginning of the Bronze Age is still a relatively dark period where we're just starting to rediscover things. We have had amnesia and we're waking up to this.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people feel that they need to go to a church or they need to go to a temple so that they can speak to God. But in reality, when you go outside and you put your feet on the ground, it's like the God source speaks to you. And it's about wanting that relationship and wanting to understand what everything and everyone is saying and who has what information to offer you. And it's that symbiotic relationship that I think is the most beautiful. So we don't really need a church, don't need a temple. You need to go outside and really enjoy the expression of nature.
So in this article, it goes on to say, I would love to walk the path that Krishna advocates in the Bhagavad Gita. His path is a path of love, to give your 100% to everything that you do and surrender the result of your actions to him. So says Manzi, a PhD student in Mumbai. Surrender your actions to source. Surrender your actions to your higher self. Surrender your actions to the wheel of karma to a degree. And again, we are here for exploration. Purposely, we do have amnesia. We've kind of given ourselves amnesia so that we can have a full experience. Because again, it's like having cheat codes in a game. And for me, yeah, I'll admit that after I played a game way back when I was playing games, and I haven't played them for many, many years. Chess is about like the only thing I'll play every now and then in a blue moon. But yeah, after you play for 100 hours, maybe you're ready for cheat codes. And then there are those that want the cheat codes before they even start. Well, again, we're not going to get the most out of the experience if we have the cheat codes. So it is purposeful to come in with kind of a blank slate. It lends to more experience. This is all there is. It can lead to a fuller experience, but it also can lead to manipulation and fear, which is understandable. But ultimately, again, we are consciousness. It always has been. It always will be. And understanding that, it changes the whole perspective to one of learning. It's not about getting to a certain destination. It truly is all about the ride.
It is. It's all about the journey. It's all about enjoying everything that you come into contact with while you're making that journey, and that everything that is in front of you is everything that there is. You know, in reality, there's no past and there's no present. There's only now. So we need to look at that. We need to look at that as a gift, as a present, and keep pulling ourselves back into the moment. And I think it's good to research externally and get to know who has written what about what belief system. You know, get everything in your system, but ultimately this is your picture that you're painting. It's your portrait. It's your masterpiece. So you get to decide at the end what is true for you. There's a lot of really good, valuable information out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much accepted that Krishna left this earth realm about 3,102 years BC, so, you know, over 5,100 years ago, long before Yeshua was born in this incarnation. Again, the souls are eternal, so that's part of the bigger picture as well. And, you know, you can translate Krishna and Christ as many things, including anointed. Many people have caught on to the anointed part of things, and that being relative to the third eye. And, you know, there are so many similarities between the two. As you see, many of them keep saying the name is the same because the concept is the same. And many of us recognize Christ consciousness. Many recognize Krishna consciousness. And even though they are a distinct personalities. They are definitely distinct personalities. Their understanding is the same.
I like that. You know, it's like the soul stream is very much the same. But when I step into each of their energy fields, I can feel that different being, that incarnation that came here to only be itself. But there are parallels, you know. I mean, they're both very beautiful beings. They both have wonderful intentions. They both came here to lead very much by example. They both came here for a 3D experience, but they came here to give us more of the 5D type of teachings, but they had to come in a different way.
And, you know, again, Krishna, it's taken that the Kali Yuga began when he left. And when Yeshua walked the earth, it was perhaps at the apex, the very peak of the darkest of the dark age. So these are definitely beings that are coming here to shed light and to share the light when there is darkness.
You know, the channelings that I've gotten for Yeshua, they are very, they're very powerful. When I do channel him, I get very emotional. I get very choked up. Because just with his energy, he does bring an enormous amount of healing. And it really feels like Krishna, he did come here to really enjoy a lot of the things that you can do here in this reality. And he left many, many, many valuable lessons. And looking at Yeshua, he came here to show us what we are capable of, and to understand that we have everything inside of us that he does, and more.
Show us also how the system has given us a limited set of beliefs, a limiting set of beliefs, and how we are so much more than what we're taught by the system. So Krishna consciousness, not a question of faith at all. It's the science of self-realization. And this is what it all is. When Yeshua said, I and the Father are one, that's self-realization. That is self-realization. In other words, he is stating that he acknowledges that he is more than the physical body. He understands, again, that he's had many incarnations. And that the higher self is our true nature. And ultimately, he also is referring to the fact that the creator of the universe is within in him, and the source of all is within him. He understands that he is in agreement, in accord with that. He lives by that. And that's the same thing when Krishna is saying, and when it's thought that he is a incarnation of Vishnu, Vishnu being the creator of this universe, it's basically saying that he is in accord with Vishnu. He recognizes sources within him, and he is embodying the principles of the creator of this universe.
Indeed.
And so when Cindy's channeled Yeshua, and she has channeled Krishna before too, and Vishnu, there is a overwhelming sense of unconditional love that comes through, and the energies are very, very similar.
You know, you can say that your energy field, since you are channeling their energy field, so anyone within that proximity that's in that area that is listening is also receiving their healing energy too.
Absolutely. When we do mantras, we're trying to pull their frequency in. So I've asked Cindy, since she can see all the different color spectrums in the energy body, when I'm doing different mantras, we can see they have very, very different energetic signatures, that each time you do the mantras, the energy that inflows is the same. So it's doing something to your energy body. What are you doing? Well, you're actually taking their energy characteristics into yourself.
And you look at that as in they are, if you are asking for assistance, they are giving assistance, and they're going to look at your energy field and see what might they need to adjust or what might need to be done for you to bring about that understanding and that frequency and that thing that you are trying to accomplish. And yes, it is different every single time and with every person, because we're all different. There is no such thing as cookie cutter, nowhere.
No, never. And that's the thing to realize. Be you. Be you. But be the best version of you. So Genesis 32:30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Remember Jacob's ladder wrestling with the angel of the Lord. Yes, again, it's an allegorical message all about the pineal gland. And again, how do you see the higher densities? You see it through an activated pineal gland when we're in the body. And, you know, again, when we exit the body, we can see all around us. We often, you know, you'll have people that'll have either a near death or actually clinically be dead, and they'll see what's happening all around them. And often those people are really changed, and they come back with a big purpose and a lot of peace, typically, to give to others about the whole process. The sacred secretion, cerebrospinal fluid, the Christ within. Again, many people, Santo Spinacci, was it? I think so. Yeah, I haven't seen him in years. I know he got really persecuted for quite a while because, again, he was always talking about this. And again, when we work with Qigong, when we work with yoga, we are working with this. When we do mantras, I don't know of anything that initiates a positive change spiritually and in the energy body more than mantras, especially when combined with Qigong and or yoga. Very, very powerful. So you can see many people have picked up on the symbolism, because again, in the fundamentalist mindset, it's like we're still looking and waiting for Santa Claus to come, the Easter Bunny, when it's all about the spirit of giving. It's all about the spirit of love and brotherhood. It's not that Santa Claus is physically coming again. No, it's about kindling that spirit within us. That's what it's always been about, is kindling that within us. So a daily mind, body, spirit practice, whether it's whatever you're gravitating to, maybe you will practice two or three disciplines, maybe even more than that. Everybody is unique, and you might flow through different things at different times. But it is all about illumination. And again, we understand the system wants to stop that at all costs, because then we recognize the falsehoods of the system. We can see right through the system. It can no longer contain us. This is what the sun and all the cosmic energy is doing for us right now. It's awakening our pineal glands. It's awakening abilities. We are all growing more psychic, more intuitive. There's so much here that's pure allegory, but it does give you sacred mysteries. And we could look deeper into it once we get past seeing the obvious moral truths that are trying to be taught. And sometimes those moral truths are not so obvious, or maybe not even so moral in some cases. As we brought up Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey your masters. Well, a lot of people don't even realize what's in the Bible, because slavery is never justified. And again, there are so many of these sacred mysteries. When the Bible gives you all these symbolisms of, you know, roaming around in the desert for 40 years. Well, why was it 40 years? Why did Jesus go do a fast and a meditation for 40 days? Again, there's numerological symbolism denoting completion in a physical sense, and yet in a spiritual sense as well. When we look to the seven lampstands, the seven churches, referencing the seven chakras, you know, this is all about consciousness. We've talked about this, I don't know how many times we've talked about the Ida and the Pingala, and once those energies are balanced, and this is why they have taken away the divine feminine, so that we're not going to be able to have that balance when we follow their system. Getting your wings. It's all symbolic. It's all allegory. And the ancient Wi-Fi for the ancients was a pineal gland that was hooked up into the universe. Yeah, because we can reach and talk to anybody at any time. You're not cut off from Yeshua. You're not cut off from Krishna. You're not cut off from anybody. And in the other ages, we can go, yeah, you have a question. Geez, I wonder what they thought. Go into a meditative state and find out.
And we can do that, but they take all that away from us by giving us these books and these indoctrinations and these industries and these places to go where we can learn instead of the ultimate truth, which is going within so that we can receive what is our truth. And when we are doing this mind, body, breath practice, this is something that comes to you very naturally. It's something that they go to great lengths to keep from allowing people to receive it. What they do is they do create a lot of trauma, because when you have a lot of emotional trauma, it makes it extremely difficult for this energy to make its peak and to fully bloom. And I really think it's akin to being reborn. Once this energy comes into you, you change. You're totally different. You are a completely different person. And you know, I know that because I'm able to look back and see that line and see myself now and see myself then and say, wow, you know, that really was like a second birth. And boy, that was a rough one for me. But this is something I tell people, if you're doing the right thing will happen. This is never, ever, ever to be used for something that is just, you know, for party tricks or whatever. This energy is sacred and it's valued and it is our gift, and used correctly, it's something that can give many, 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 many blessings, you know, to yourself, your loved ones, your family. And to me, it's like the ultimate thing that you can do when you come here to this planet and you take an incarnation. This is an energy that you get to embody that.
Yes, and we've talked about this many times. The lay of the body is the eye. If therefore light, if thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. That's Matthew 6:22. So yeah, there are references to many of the secrets that have been covered up purposely by the system still in there for those that can discern and look past the obvious literal versions of what you're given. When I'm doing mantras in a totally pitch black room, I noticed many years ago that all of a sudden the room would start to get lighter, and then I'd see swirling colors. I'd see patterns developing even though my eyes are closed, and I've got the room darkened with room darkening shades, maybe even tinfoil to block out any rays of light. And all of a sudden the light is getting very bright, and I could see patterns and shapes. That's your third eye, and that's you seeing things that you can't see with the physical eye. Typically, doesn't mean they're not there. Again, the visible light spectrum is very small, very, very small. We see just a small, tiny percentage of what is actually there at any time. There are always beings walking around you and right through you every single day.
And that's, you know, this energy is going to be different for people too. You might not see things that vividly, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening. It doesn't mean that you're not special. It just means that you're going to have a different experience. And like I was talking with someone the other day, going through something similar, just explaining that it's going to be different from them. And I do see higher self is very much a gatekeeper for this energy. So I think a lot of people, they just, you know, they want to see this and they want to see that. But it's like higher self knows where you're at. Higher self knows if it's okay to open these gates or not. Higher self is the one that is in charge of your well-being. And if you're not seeing the things the way you want to, trust that and become okay with that. Continue doing the right thing, and the right thing is going to happen. You really want to stay on that path.
Yeah, and that's where it's fascinating to look at D9, D10, and D12. because you might find that it looks like in your previous life, and I'm referencing a Vedic astrology chart, you were some sort of spiritual master. And so this life is not about that. This life is about something else. Maybe it's even going to, put Ketu, which is the south node of the moon, in a position that you're not going to even have any interest in spirituality. It could be very purposeful because you might have been there, done that so many times, you're a master of that. You got to work on something else. This is part of the reveal. Yes, absolutely. We set up our lives. Again, who is your maker? Well, you are ultimately the one that is deciding what to overcome. Now, that is the higher self, what to overcome, what to learn, what didn't you get quite right. When we see this quote from Swami Vivekananda, Christ, Buddha, and Krishna are but waves in the ocean of infinite consciousness that I am. We are all a part of that. We can tap into that. So when we tap up into their frequencies, we are intentionally trying to bring their characteristics, their qualities into ourselves. Do we need more compassion? Yeah, absolutely. Pull in Yeshua, Jesus, or maybe pull in Kuan Yin. These beings are all about compassion. Do you need to develop a little bit more of a backbone? Stand up for yourself. Then maybe you're pulling in Durga energy. Maybe, especially if you're being attacked by the system or something along those lines. Or maybe it's Hanuman. Maybe you pull in Hanuman energy. Again, it's unique to the person. And each one of us is a distinct individual that is totally unique. And that's exactly the plan. So there are three gates to self-destructive hell: lust, anger, and greed. Again, there are no hells per se created to hold people that don't go along with some deity's plan. No, but we can create our own self-destructive hells. And again, it's when these things take hold of us and we lose control over them.
And they are very powerful. These are very powerful energies. And you might say they are akin to a demon in Christian terms, somebody who is very, very not nice. And I don't mean demon as in daemon, but I'm just using that word as an example. These energies will grab hold of these emotions and they will not let go. And you might be, going about your life and somebody in your life is being pulled by these emotions and they're not really able to control their actions and you don't know what has gotten into them, but whatever they're doing is something that's just not them. It's not them at all. It's not something that you're used to. But these energies are very, very, very powerful. So there are things that you would want to, at least I do, I guard against them in myself. And you have to understand that no one is completely 100% free from these energies. If it's an energy, you're an energy. Energies can come together. So it's about setting up your life in a way that you're responsible so that these energies, they can stay way over there. And you have the choice and the option of what you put into your mind, whether that be through TV, whether that be through your phone, whether that be through music, because all of these things have the possibility of opening up these energies inside of you.
Yeah, absolutely. There is so much truth to many of those spiritual things that we were handed, even out of the absolute Abrahamic tradition that we were speaking of, that's so dominated the minds of so many. That angel on one shoulder, well, angel, again, a being that sees the bigger picture, understands, we're coming here to learn and to experience. And then the devil on that other shoulder, well, the devil, really, we could more accurately talk about those demonic energies, but literally also draconian energies, because this is exactly how the Draco do work to seduce people through the ego. That little voice saying, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, that type of thing can absolutely lead down one of these self-destructive paths. And, you know, when we look to really what's cultivated on this planet, it's everything that's not about the higher self. No, it's all about the ego and the lower self.
They really do harp on that, and they do train people up to rely on the ego and rely on being in competition with others. And, you know, I'm not saying ego is all bad. It's not. Ego is necessary. Ego keeps us alive. But when you're having this experience in this world, in this life, humble is where you have, from what I have seen, the deepest experience, the most genuine experience, the most authentic experience is having that humble center and, you know, just being quiet and sure of yourself deep within.
Absolutely. And just be very aware of that which leads down the dark path without feeding it at the same time. As the heat of a fire reduces wood to ash, the fire of knowledge burns all ash to karma. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. So burns to ash all karma. So karma you can look at as a law of cause and effect. I think there's a misunderstanding in general on karma. We were having this discussion yesterday again. Actions do not cling to me, this is Krishna speaking, because I am not attached to their results. Those who understand this and practice it live in freedom. You know, again, it's all about understanding the higher self and the purpose behind all things. When we're talking about ego and getting caught up and having to be the best. We are the champions, right? That Queen song. Think about everything that this world is all about. It puts up on the highest pedestal billionaires, CEOs, you know, leaders of corporations that have so much money they can, and sometimes, some instances, they literally could utilize their own wealth to feed a nation and yet choose not to. There's also that statement, which may have been a misstatement, that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter heaven. And if we change that and we say, well, heaven being like a higher fifth dimensional reality, yeah, well, it's our desire to come right back. It's our craving to come right back that causes us to decide to take another incarnation. Some cannot leave their bodies right after death. They cannot leave their houses, their properties, their loved ones. Yeah, that'll keep us hanging around. So typically what happens, you know, after we give up the body is we go through maybe a brief period. In some traditions, it's thought that the soul will hang around for 3 days, maybe a week, maybe a little longer period, and it will visit people and it will kind of do its round, and then it will move on to a different plane that we would look at like the astral plane, but like a higher level of the astral plane where we're literally creating our own little world to take a break in and to go back, sit down, analyze this life. Again, life reviews. You've heard people say, well, you know, my whole life flashed before our eyes. Well, you know, we will have a life review because, again, this life is for the experience and the learning that it brings. And so we'll do our reviews, we'll make our decisions, and then if it's our desire, we will come back down and come back in according to the laws of karma, in a sense, in the laws of cause and effect. There's still things to work on, maybe, you know, some aspects that we missed. We didn't quite hit our expectations before coming into the life. But then if we are of a certain frequency and vibration, we could choose to just go up into the higher densities and not come back down into this realm again. And when we look at beings like Krishna and Yeshua, it's completely, completely done out of service to others, really. It's about helping others pave the way so that they can make expanded decisions for themselves. The mind is restless and difficult to restrain, but it's subdued by practice. And so again, this life in this world, and in this system, in a Kali Yuga, and the ending and beginning of the Bronze Ages, respectively, as far as the descending and ascending Bronze Ages, what we find ourselves in is a world that's so fast-paced on purpose that it doesn't give you the time to even really breathe sometimes. Certainly, it doesn't give you the time to develop a regular spiritual practice. It's all done by purpose. The spiritual practice is the most important thing. And venture to say, as you get older, it becomes by far the most important thing. Because, again, it helps us in our transition, and it helps us with options. Options when we find ourselves done with this life. The beings that are the ones that we call the controllers in this world, they literally are setting themselves up with hellish, so to speak, existence because of the roads they've chosen to take. It's of their own creation. He who has no attachments can really love others, for his love is pure and divine. When we truly love, we love beyond the physical. And, you know, you might meet somebody that you just so resonate with, and it doesn't matter, you know, what vehicle they're operating, you just resonate with the being. And yet, everything in this physical reality is just temporary. It's totally temporary. If we truly love, we're loving past anything that's physical. We're loving Source itself, because ultimately that's what Source is, and all this is for us. Source is creating all these worlds, and Source has many very, very powerful creator gods out there that are creating worlds all the time for consciousness to explore.
You know, I look at this and I was fortunate enough, I did see Source face to face, which absolutely sounds so insane, but it did happen. And Source really truly is perfect love, you know. And I think this is a really beautiful saying. He who has no attachments can really love others, for his love is pure and divine. But is that what we came here for? Did we come here to love perfectly, or did we come here to love differently? You know, because we do come from perfect love. That's all Source is. And I had some questions, and I keep meaning to write down my experience with Source, because it was one of those things that was a blink of an eye, but I could probably write at least a chapter out of a book about everything that transpired. And I wanted to know, you know, like, does it matter how things happen in your life, or is it just the idea that they actually happen? And I was a little bit snarky when I spoke with Source, and that probably sounds really weird, but I think I was feeling angry about some of the things that I had gone through, and I had questions, and I needed answers. So I was asking, does it matter? You know, does it really matter? And Source told me it does matter. And I did this because I love you. I love you purely, and everything that you see in front of you is for you. It is because of my love for you. I want you to experience what I experience. As Rama comes to say hello, because he's such a good boy. You know, Rama is probably closer to someone who can love purely than I've ever met, besides my husband. But, you know, it was a very impactful moment that I had with Source, and Source saying that everything you see around you is for you. And that means you individually too. That means everything that you see in front of you is for you. It is because of love. So everything and everybody that comes into your life
is out of love, so you could have an experience, and sometimes those experiences might be very, very difficult to handle, but the promise is that it does come from love, and it's for you.
Absolutely. And both pups are here now. Rama's on one side, Sita's on the other side, and then Sassy is here as well. And so, yeah, it is all for us, because ultimately this is where change can happen. This is where growth happens. When we are up in the higher realms, we are us, and the truth sense of us, that unchanging sense of us, from the standpoint that we come down to these lower densities in order to grow and expand. It's all about consciousness expanding. And so this is where we do our expansion. We are all truly creator gods in training. This is how we learn and grow. When we look at beings like Krishna and Yeshua, these are beings that are on a much, they're kind of like, you know, if we want to use the equivalent, you know, they're PhD graduates compared to, you know, us still being in grade school, so to speak. You know, they are again masters, and they understand the bigger picture. There is nothing lost or wasted in this life. Everything, every experience is valid. And yeah, you might think that you could have done better, you could have done something different. We shouldn't really look at it that way. We should look at the blessings that we incur, look at the lessons that we learn, and we grow from that. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can it be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. Yeah, so, you know, right there, that's the Bhagavad Gita. That absolutely goes contrary to the lake of fire and that hell and brimstone thing from, you know, again, Revelations. No, you know, when we're not physical, you can't burn us, you know. So never was there a time when I did not exist. This is Krishna to Arjuna. Nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Well, that's reassuring. Absolutely, because again, we are consciousness. The soul is never born, nor dies at any time. Soul has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. Soul is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval. The soul is not slain when the body is slain. Absolutely. So again, you know, the whole Western concept that we've gotten in traditionalist Christianity is really off base. Who is your maker? Meet your maker. Well, that's you. That's the higher self. That's even beyond the higher self, because ultimately we're all drops in the ocean of consciousness, which has always been.
All rivers lead to the same ocean. That's what I like to say. It's very, very true. Very, very true. And look at how this system, it's really set up to cause a lot of trauma, because what keeps us from reaching our highest potential are those traumas. So what I think right now is the time where we really should be healing any little ouchie that we may have picked up through this life, healing it in some way, shape, or form, giving it the attention that maybe that painful event didn't get at the time that it happened. It's like, now is time to go back and give ourselves that attention that we needed and that we deserved and that we didn't understand how to process at the time. We can do that now. We can go back now.
Absolutely. So I hope you guys got something out of this. Look forward to your comments and questions. Please do share this video widely. This one's very important. It comes from teachings that would be things that the guides would want for us to get out as much as possible, especially in the time that we're facing, which is a time of trial and tribulation, but it's also a trial and tribulation that leads to rapid growth and illumination if we handle it to the best of our ability from that higher perspective.
Source bless and namaste.
Namaste.